You know, when we talk to new agents out there and people looking at NAA and looking at all those things, you know, they look at the numbers and they just shake their head. They don't believe it. But, you know, you can believe the commission checks that the agents are getting. And what we have today is this. We have three guys on the phone, and the manager is Chris Duzan. Chris is up in Michigan. One of the major up-and-coming managers, just a smoking phenomenal agency, a lot of momentum going into the fall, and just posting numbers. And Chris, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about your agency and kind of where you guys are situated right now, how your numbers are looking for this month, and then if you would, introduce the two guys that you have on the call with you.
Guys, I'm going to jump right into this. We have probably around 150,000 for the month, I think, is where we're tracking it to date. Not sure where the master agency is. I have two guys here that are absolutely just tremendous individuals, and I got to go back a little bit and tell you a little bit about Bill Martin's story. And for some of you guys that have been around from the practice guy, it's not the Bill Martin you're thinking of. Okay? I don't want to scare anybody. But anyway, I hired Bill a couple years ago, back in, what was it? August of 04, I think is what it was, right?
Yep.
And for whatever reason, Bill had been in some businesses, and he had to make money right now. He couldn't wait even a week because he has a wife, stay-at-home mom, and four children. And he decided that he needed to do something else, and he was selling trusts for a while. And I didn't discount that. I said, all right, Bill, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And Bill can probably tell you the story a little bit more. But, you know, I never really hounded him. In February, he came back and said, you know, he called me up and he says, you know what, I'm dying here. I'm burned out. I have no future. And we started talking a little bit and negotiating and things of that nature. And his first full month, wrote like $25,000 in the business. February, and he'll tell you a little bit more about it, kind of struggled a little bit. And I think he was giving people the insurance 101 presentation. And you all know that that's not what we're about. But anyway, I guess the moral of this whole deal is that, you know, people come in our business. And if I'd have blown Bill out big and burly back then, he wouldn't be here today, and he is absolutely our next up-and-coming agency manager. 4 weeks in April, wrote 30,000. You know, that's an average of 7,500 a week consistently. Estimated to make a couple hundred thousand bucks this year. That's my opinion. Just absolutely tremendous. Why don't you tell them just a little bit about Colton and your background
there? Okay. Thanks. Yeah, to pick up where Chris had started this, I was in the trust business, living trust business for a couple of years, and was burned out, and really had to look for something that I knew I could sink my teeth into, and had been looking for numbers of years for an opportunity like this, but didn't realize that this opportunity was already in front of me. And Chris was very good with me, knew that I would have probably ran if he would have pressured me at that time, because I was under a lot of stress. And I'd heard a lot of promises in my life. I've had a lot of carrots dangled. I've had a lot of opportunities presented before me that did not turn out. And so I was a little cautious, and I know a lot of people on this call are probably in the same kind of situation or have been, and we're a little apprehensive because of all the promises that you hear out there and all the great utopia pictures that are painted. So it took me a while, and Chris is exactly right. I've got, probably a bad thing. I've got 17 years of insurance experience, which isn't a good thing here, necessarily. And Chris continued to stay with me and said, Bill, you're overselling. You just go in there and it doesn't take but a few minutes, and I'm not used to that. I'm used to a two-hour presentation, education, et cetera. But once it clicked, and I can remember the first appointment that I finally, it worked the way it was supposed to work, and I came and told Chris, I said, this was ridiculous. It was like a $65 a month premium. And he looked at me and said, that's how most of them are. And it didn't click with me. And then I got on a call with Ralph Simpson on one of these calls, and somebody was badgering Ralph about, you know, what do you do here? What do you do there? What about this? Just throwing all kinds of, you know, roadblocks to themselves to Ralph. And then Ralph finally just said, listen, man, in his English accent, if Ralph's on the call. He said, listen, man, the sale is the lead. Don't you get it? They've already purchased. All you're doing is fulfilling the order. And after I made a couple sales and heard that call, it's just been lights out ever since. And then I stayed in contact with a lot of these people that I was in the trust business with. And Colton's one of them. I'm going to bring Colton on in just a minute. And Colton and I are very close. We're good friends. He's out in Ohio. And him and I, we were real estate investors. That's a laugh between me and Colton. That's a kind of an inside joke. But we had gotten the real estate business, going to make $1 million in 6 months, and it didn't work out that way. He had stayed in contact with me, and I was telling him what was going on, and I could tell by our phone conversations that he was not buying this whole thing. He just couldn't believe it. Colton's had as much of a struggle as anybody's had. Nobody can give Colton the hard luck story, let me tell you. From what he's rebounded from. And same with me. And we just don't have any tolerance for listening to what people's problems are because we've been through it all. So Colton stayed in contact with me, and he came up in April because he just couldn't believe this. And he was selling houses at the time. And he came up, drove up from Ohio, and he rode with me. We had four appointments, and I wrote $4,600 in AP in those four appointments. I thought Colton was going to jump out of the car. He just couldn't believe it because he had been hearing what I had been doing, but he couldn't believe it until he saw it. He even told me on the way home that night, he says, you know, man, he goes, I love you, and I, you know, it's not that I don't believe you or don't trust you, but I just couldn't buy this until I saw it. And from that point on, and as if anybody saw the email today that was sent out for this call, Colton at one point, and I don't know what his exact numbers are right now, was 33 for 36. 36 appointments, sold 33 of those. And he is just rolling. He is tearing this up. Colton and I have been good friends for a long time. I'm going to bring him on right now.
Hold on real quick, Bill. This is Adam. Those four appointments you ran and the $4,600 of premium that you picked up, how many of those four appointments did you close? Was that like one big app?
That was every appointment we saw.
So you closed all four of them
for
$4,600 of premium.
Yeah, and when Colton got in the car, he was ecstatic. I said, Colton, I had to work for those. He said, what? Just to give anybody a little background on trust business, you got a two-hour presentation, and you have to really create the problem and the solution in 2 hours, and you're exhausted, et cetera. That's what we're used to. And I said, Colton, I had to work for those. He said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, no.
How long were you in the house?
The apps are the longest part. Usually I've got a commitment in less than 20 minutes. I think one of them we got a commitment in about 8 minutes.
8 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow, what took you so long?
I know. I'm trying to get it down to about 3 or 4 minutes right now. So, but you get into a lot of these homes, they're sitting there with a checkbook ready to go before you even get in the house. So, and Colton just couldn't believe it. And look what's happening to him. He is absolutely on fire. He called me, and he said, "Man, if you weren't a guy, I'd be giving you a huge kiss right now." He called me halfway through one of his weeks where he was like, he had hit 20 for 20. And you could just feel the electricity over the phone. He is just on fire. And that's coming across in the home. People are loving him. Colton, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Why don't you take over and give us your side of this?
Yeah, I the only thing I want to say is, everything that Bill has said is absolutely true. I know he is having the time of his life. I am so grateful that I have the same opportunity that he's had and everybody else on this call, whether you've been doing this a long, long time or you're just getting started. It is truly one of the best scenarios, the best situations I've ever been in, and I know there's a lot of other people on here that would testify of the same thing. This is unlike anything I've ever been in. And like Bill was saying, that day, I mean, I know Bill, I trust him, I'm getting a play-by-play while I'm sitting in my office selling houses. I'm getting a play-by-play every day of, yeah, just wrote another one, just made, you know, the X amount of dollars on this one. And it was just blowing my mind. And he kept saying, he's like, Colton, what are you doing? And I had the same thing. I mean, I have had so many things dangled in front of my face that, you know, everybody, if you've been in sales, you know that a lot of those carrots, you know, they never pan out. And one of the biggest things was just wanting to see it for myself. So when I went up there that day and shadowed him, I mean, I could not believe it. It's like, I knew you were telling me the truth, but this is just amazing. And I got to see it with my own eyes, and came back to Ohio and been going ever since.
Okay, enough of this rah-rah, guys. Okay, you love us. We get it. Why? What makes this so different than everything else that you've done?
Can I say something, man? This is Bill.
Please.
I'll just give you a little background on my history. I started in sales in 1981, didn't know what I was doing. I got an insurance license in Texas, and you didn't even have to have the exam yet. You could sell for 90 days. I didn't even know I was selling insurance. And I was with a national marketing organization similar to this, but they did not have the organization structure and the way you've got the lead program set up. So I was there for a couple of years, had my own office in a very short period of time, was selling the lights out, and then the whole thing fell like a deck of cards because of the internal structure and the people that were running the organization. So I had been in several other places, including being a GA, and I've been several captive agents with several companies. And every place I've gone, you know, they've never really had what I would call a solid, realistic lead structure. The lead structure here at NAA is by far, and I've been in a lot of organizations, and I've excelled in every single one of them, but you pretty much plateau because there's not much at the end. I mean, you can only do so much with it because they're limited. There's no limit here. And the lead structure is absolutely phenomenal. When you have a product where the lead is a sale, you can get out of your own way. And once you stop selling, you start selling. And that's the beauty of this entire thing. Essentially, if you view yourself as an order taker, that's exactly
Absolutely.
What you're going to be. But if you go in there and you think you're a salesman, you got to convince people, you will fail here. And there's never been anything I've ever seen, and I've looked at a lot of different things with this type of structure, this type of leadership, and I spent, you know, 4 days in Toronto with a lot of these guys, and these are awesome, awesome human beings. And they got great hearts, and they're sincere, and they're not people that are out there taking advantage of this situation. They're sincere about growing this thing, and you can feel that from when you spend time with them. So in my opinion, it is the psychology behind the lead, it's the lead structure, and then the people at the top. There's nothing out there that I've ever seen even close to this.
Colton, what would you say to that?
I would just say that what we're doing is, I don't want to copy everything Bill's saying here, but I mean, I agree. The lead, like he said, the lead is the sale. And I mean, when you walk into the home, you know, the less you sell, the more you'll sell. Because if you walk in there as an insurance agent, I mean, when you walk in there with the attitude that this person has already bought my product, we just have to figure out which one's going to suit them best. Then like Bill says, you're an order taker. You're going in there, you're meeting their needs, and you know, when you walk in with that attitude that they've already purchased. I mean, they filled this out, they talked to me or whoever set the appointment on the phone, they've allowed me to come to their home. It's pretty much a done deal when you walk in there that in my mind that they want what I have.
Want this building specifically.
Okay. So what are you saying on the phone that everybody's a done deal? Are you closing on the phone, so you're only
No.
going on appointments that are slam dunks? Or tell us about your phone script.
Phone script is very straightforward. Basically, I call them. I say, this is Colton Hawk with the Mortgage Protection Group. I've got a notice here that you had sent in. And I ask them if they remember the notice. Sometimes they say, yeah, I've sent so many of those in, I don't even know which one. We get to the bottom of that. I do not sell them over the phone. The only questions I ask them over the phone, I'll ask them if they know anything about mortgage protection insurance. A lot of times they say, very little. And set the appointment. I ask them, the only two questions I ask, have you had any surgeries or operations that I need to know about, and are you on any prescriptions? I don't need to know the name of the prescription, just tell me what it's for. Those are the only qualifying questions I ask on the phone. I run every appointment. I do not try to sell it. I know some people do. I don't close it over the phone. I do it in the home.
Okay. And you have closed 33 out of your last 36 appointments.
Well, actually, right now I'm 36 out of 39.
36, okay. He's updated it. He probably went.
Yeah.
He probably ran three appointments this morning in preparation for the call. Okay.
Yeah.
Chris, jump in here. Where do you find these guys?
Well, I'll tell you, and it's amazing that you asked that question because I've been kind of biting my lip wanting to talk about it. Bill came from an ad, that I ran, was it newspaper?
Career Builders or Monster?
Monster. I think it was Monster because I don't think we were doing Career Builder yet at this time. And he came in. I'm gonna let him tell you just a little bit of the history. But him and I, that's when we were working out of my basement. And I met him down at Arnie's.
Yep.
Down the street. That's where I met, kind of like Fitz, met people at, Starbucks. I met people a quarter mile down the street from my house, if it was that far, at Arnie's. And we talked, and, you know, Bill kind of, I think he was trying to do both things at the same time. And obviously, his focus was split, but he came from having a successful travel business down in Ohio that was booming about $1.5 million a year. $3 million, he says. $3 million in volume a year. That was prior to 9/11. Well, you can imagine when you're doing overseas stuff how fast that business evaporated. So why don't you add a little...
Well, yeah, I met Chris. I had moved back to Michigan, which is my home state, and I was, I'll be honest with you guys, I was starving. I had 4 kids and a wife and really no prospect. I was selling trust and barely skimming by making a living. I was living off plastic for quite a period of time also. And I had a business, successful business. My brother and I had a business in Ohio. We had 11 employees, $3 million in annual sales until 9/11. We were doing group tours with senior citizens. And we actually had 200 people on tour when 9/11 hit. I was flying back from South America. I was actually on a plane when the planes hit the towers, coming back from South America. And our whole world changed for everybody, including us. Within 18 months, our business was almost non-existent, because of nobody traveling, nobody doing overseas, et cetera. So I had to, you know, send my life in a different direction. I had, you know, we were planning on retiring there, selling the business someday, and fat, dumb, and happy. And it didn't work out that way. And everybody on this call, for the most part, has got a story. I understand that. So I had to, you know, look for something, and I had to revert back to my insurance industry. I hadn't been in insurance for a number of years. I got my license, and I met Chris. And we sat down and talked, and at that time, it just quite honestly didn't feel right. I didn't know. I heard Chris was talking about how easy this is and all this, and I'm thinking, you know, every time I've heard that story, it's always something behind it, and there's always some other thing that you got to figure out and know. And Chris was very sincere, and I have to give him so much credit because he stayed in contact with me without bothering me to the point where it would annoy me. And he knew that about me. He could sense that about me, and he knew where I'd been. We had a long talk about it. But he stayed in contact with me and just continued to just send me emails, updates once in a while, what's going on, how you doing. And I came to him, and I think he knew that that was the only way I was coming on board, is if I came to him, which I did. And I'd had it. I said, okay, let's see if this is going to work. I've had so many promises. I mean, Colton and I spent over $2,000 on real estate seminars, so I'd been down the road with multi-level marketing and everything. And so I was very, very apprehensive. And it's just been hard to describe. It really is. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm going. There's eight or nine people right now under me that are getting signed up, that are starting to get everything rolling, and it's just spreading because all these people, you know, similar situation.
You know, what it is, Adam, is that people have seen Bill's example and they know Bill's work ethic and his sphere of influence. There hasn't been any advertisement dollars spent there, but here's something cool, and I got to throw this in. Bill took a vacation this year, and he goes up into northern Michigan, into the UP, and he has done this every year for several years. Last year, he went up there, and him and Cheryl were deciding whether they should go, whether they shouldn't go. They went, and they financed the whole thing on credit cards. This year, they went up there, paid cash for the whole trip, whole family. You're gone, what, eight days? 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled some leads from bonus leads or DLP or something and wrote like 33 apps for $3,500 while he was up there, and took him about 3 or 4 hours to do that. So, I mean, it's just his life has changed tremendously because of what we're doing. Colton, let me ask you a question. Has your life changed since last year? And moreover, how does your wife, Lorna, how she towards this business versus other ventures that you might have done in the past?
She was skeptical at first, just kind of like I was after I went to Michigan and rode with Bill. And I did both. I kept my other job for a short time. And once the checks started rolling in, though, you know, I was waiting for her to be comfortable. Because I've jumped out in some other stuff before, and, I mean, we paid for it dearly. And so anyway, once there was, I never will forget, we were driving the car, and she looked at me, and she said, you know, what are you doing? It's kind of like what Bill's been telling me for 2 months. She said, what are you doing? She said, you need to do this full time. And I said, I know that. I said, I'm ready to go. And so, I mean, it has totally just changed everything. I know just from the things that Bill has been saying and things like that, everybody does have a story. I mean, last year, I mean, I'm an open book. I filed bankruptcy last year. I mean, we lost everything. We were in a situation that I never in a million years would have ever pictured myself being in. And so, I mean, it was something that, I mean, from 1 year to the next, you know, what a difference 12 months makes.
So how long have you been with us, Colton?
For about 4 months.
4 months. And how much cash flow have you produced in the last 30 days?
Last 30 days, I would say around $12,000 to $14,000.
$12,000 to $14,000. So just, you know, projecting that over the course of 12 months, you're looking at between $140,000 to $175,000 if you don't change anything else.
Right.
Just based on 3 months' experience. Not too bad. What was your best income prior to coming into NAA for a year?
Best income for a year was around $74,000 for a year.
So you've already doubled. You're on pace to. Don't want to blow it up.
Right.
But you're on pace to double. And the assumption is that you're going to continue to grow and get promotions and all those things. So no reason why your income won't continue to go even higher.
Sure.
What was it? Was it just simply seeing Bill do those four appointments that hooked you in, or was it a sense of desperation that something's got to change and you were just grasping at straws? What was it that really got you committed to what NAA was putting together?
Well, I think the biggest thing was, I mean, the job I had a base plus commission, so, I mean, I was surviving. And what really got me, it wasn't just total desperation because I was somewhat comfortable in what I was doing, but the thing that got me was the fact, again, just that there are leads. You know, Bill said you get leads. These are qualified leads. You're not just cold calling people. You know, the lead system was a huge plus in my mind that I don't mind paying for leads if I know that that person's going to want to talk to me when I call them. And then just seeing, you know, Bill and I have done a lot of things together. And, I mean, just going out and watching him do what he does in the home, it's like, you know, it is a very simple, process when you're in the home. You're not selling them. If you are selling them, you're not going to have an application. If you walk in there and you're having a good time, my biggest thing is, people ask, you know, well, how are you doing this? How you writing all these in a row? I have fun with them. I mean, my attitude when I walk in there is I want to impact these people's lives in one way or another. Obviously, it would be great for them to get protection for their family and that spouse is taken care of if something happens to one of them. But I walk in there with the attitude that, I mean, I want to bless these people. If we can get an application written, that's great. But no matter what, when I walk out of there, I want them to have had a pleasurable experience, whether I make them laugh. I mean, everybody's stressed out right now. I mean, everybody's got a story. Everybody's dealing with junk. But it's like when I walk in there, my focus, my attention is on them 100%. And that comes across. If you walk in there and you are the only thing on your mind, you're going to walk out of there empty-handed. I mean, if you go in wanting to help the people, I'm telling you flat out, again and again and again, what will happen is you'll have applications in your hand. That is just a byproduct of you being comfortable, you enjoying what you're doing, and walking in with a positive attitude, with the mindset, you know what, they've already bought. They filled this out. I'm coming into their home. We just have to figure out what it is they want, what kind of product they want that's going to best suit their needs.
How many appointments a week are you running?
Not as many as I want to be. Right now I'm probably running, I would say, around 15 is all.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to hire a telemarketer starting next week that I will have a fuller schedule. I want to be running 3 to 5 a day is my goal.
3 to 5 a day. Okay, God, only 15. Unbelievable. Such a lazy work. you do realize, Colton, that you are, most of our guys don't run 15 appointments in a month because it's so easy. And to find people with the work, the commitment to success, and the need for success, that's few and far between. Okay, so to run 15 appointments, are you getting 40 leads a week in order to do that? Are you getting referrals? How are you able to book 15 appointments a week?
B leads, I would say that, I'm not getting 40 leads a week. I usually get around 15.
Okay.
I would say average of 15 a week. And then you obviously have some carryover. That's not counting B leads. I would say 15 would be a great week. I'm looking at the last 2 weeks have been off. I was on vacation last week. I would say more average, I would say 10 a week.
I'd say that's right, Colton.
Yeah.
You've had a couple of high weeks here recently, but
right.
The average is about 10, 12, sometimes
yeah.
8.
Yeah. Okay. Have either one of you guys traveled?
Oh, yeah. I just did yesterday.
How far did you go?
I'm not telling you where I went.
No, don't tell us where. Just tell us how far.
I got up at 6 o'clock, drove 4 hours. Had 4 appointments, 2 sales, and drove back. I had a 16-hour day yesterday.
Okay.
I don't care where I go.
16-hour day, and now you can take that. And how much premium did you pick up?
Not very much for that day, but I'm going back to the area because it's a good spot.
Okay.
The only reason I didn't is because of health reasons.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. You know we got presidential for that.
I know. I've done quite a bit of that, too.
Okay, excellent. A lot of people on this call don't know what we're talking
right.
about. For those of you who don't, presidential life is a guaranteed issue policy.
Yep.
So if you got somebody who just can't qualify for anything else, obviously we want to sell Foresters first,
yep.
Home Certain second.
Yep.
But if they have cancer, if they had a stroke last week, you can't write those. So we have presidential as a nice backup there.
I've got a lot of big paychecks from them too, by the way.
A lot of big paychecks. Speaking of big paychecks, Bill, you want to how are you doing the last 30 days income wise?
30 days? I'm probably around 15 grand.
15,000, so $180,000 run rate, and your agency is just now starting to get some traction as far as growing, and so no reason why. What's your income goal for 2007?
2007, minimum 300,000.
Minimum 300. How much do you think you're going to make fourth quarter this year?
I'm going to make the fourth quarter this year probably between 75 and 80,000.
Awesome.
Well, just to give you an idea, Chris and I have talked about this several times. In the first 5 months here, I just about matched my entire income for last year for what I was doing before.
That's pretty strong. That's a pretty strong statement there. And you had done that line of business for 17 years, or?
I had been in the insurance business a total of 17 years off and on, but I was in the trust business for about 2.5 to 3 years. And before that was the group tour business for 7 years.
Okay.
Let me ask you something, Colton. This is Chris. You, in the beginning, you didn't come charging out of the gates right away when you started, okay? And what changed for you from the instant that, you were writing every other one or whatever the case may be to the rate that you're at now? I know there's a couple of differences, and I'm leading the witness here. I already know what it is. But tell us, Colton, what it is that specifically helped you go from, being average to being on top of the game. You there? Colton, did we lose you?
All right, Bill, you know the guy pretty good. What changed him from average
not
to...
There anymore?
Say again?
You're not, Colton's not there anymore?
Phone lines can be funny things.
Okay. What changed for him from going from... He had started out like me in a lot of ways, a little apprehensive, but ready to go, and he was sitting on a paycheck now. He hadn't had that for a while, and benefits and the whole works, and he had to see some income coming in. And then Colton and I talk regularly, sometimes 5-6 times a day. It's pretty common for us, sharing ideas and what we're doing and all that. And then all of a sudden, I'll tell you what, man, it just went nuts. He just, before I knew it, he goes, you know, I've written 5 in a row. Then the next thing I talked, I've written 8 in a row. Next thing I know, it's 15. And the next thing I know, it's 20. I go, what on earth? And he just, I remember the day he told me, he says, I don't care what it takes. He goes, I don't care how I have to do it. I am just going to tear this up. I remember right after he started making a few sales, and the light bulb went on as far as how to actually do the process and how simple it was. And I remember him declaring to me over the phone that he was just going to tear it up, and he had. And he's going to continue. Colton and I talked today, earlier this morning, and we both, you know, we both stated to each other we will be in the top 25 for sure, and shooting for the top 10 in this company as producers next year. Because we both started late this year, so we're gonna dedicate ourselves to doing that for next year.
Awesome.
He has, and you know, one thing too, Adam, is Colton's not working in his backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, he's working. Gosh, I'm trying to look at a map here. Probably a radius of, I mean, geez, most of the state and the state that he's in. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and he's like. And the guys that Bill's brought on, you know, Bob Johnson, there's some other guys that are coming on. They're like, you know, if Bill tells me to go and he's got 10 leads in Wisconsin or wherever it is, he says, I'm going to get in my airplane, I'm going to go.
Yep.
These are guys that do not worry about geography.
Right.
It's what it is, Chris, is long-term thinking versus short-term thinking.
Right.
See, the short-term thinker says, I can't get leads in my backyard, therefore this deal won't work.
Right, right.
The long-term thinker says, I can get leads, people guaranteed sales in this country. Therefore, this deal will work. And I'm willing to invest a couple hundred dollars in buying leads and travel and transportation and everything else so that I can make $12,000, $14,000, $15,000 a month in income.
Right.
You know, and it's just unbelievable that if somebody came up to you, and this is not for the three of you guys on the phone. This is for the 250 people listening on the conference call. If somebody said, I can pay you $180,000 a year income, but I'm going to need you to travel 3 days a week, how many people would turn that down? And we have that opportunity here for the people who can see it. And the difference between the people who are willing to travel, like we have with Bill and with Colton, and like the Simpson team has shown, and the you know, the Wallace agency and the Lampe agency have shown, because those are guys, those are really the trendsetters, the guys who were on the call yesterday, really the trendsetters in the travel, is that they believed it and they went out and did it. Whereas a lot of people are like, well, if you ain't gonna guarantee me $180,000. You know, the guarantee is in your fingers. The guarantee is in your butt. You know, get off of it and do something, and the guarantee is there. I'd much rather have it based on what I produce than what some guy in a corporate office said I'm worth.
That's right.
I'd like to share something, too, with a conversation I had with somebody who's coming on board with me. And I know you've experienced this, too, Adam, and when you're talking to somebody and they already start giving you barriers and boundaries of what they're, the conditions they're going to lay before you in order to be successful. I want to be successful. Here's my conditions. And you can already know where that's going to end up in a month or two from now. When you talk to somebody like Colton or, and Chris mentioned Bob Johnson, some of these other people, I've never heard barriers from them. There's nothing in their sights. It's just a matter, I'm going to succeed. And I had a conversation with somebody and they were saying, you can do that because that's your personality. My personality is not like that. And I said, wrong. I said, my success is not because of my personality. My success is because of my commitment and my desire, period. That's the only difference between you and I. You can have the excuse that it's because my personality or Colton's personality or whatever. And it has nothing to do with it. It's desire and commitment, period.
Bill, how many phone calls a week are you making?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
My wife is my appointment setter.
Okay.
She sets all my appointments. I make a few, obviously, but
well, how many a week does she make?
Whatever it takes. She cracks the whip, man. I mean,
she's relentless in her pursuit. And I told Bill in the beginning, that's a blessing and the curse, brother.
Well, I mean, she makes $14,000 a month, and she gives Bill $1,000.
Yeah,
so
not a bad
appointment setting job.
I can't tell you how many times I've come back home and said, "You made this sale. You made this sale. All I did is show up." You know, because she's sitting there. We were looking at. she was looking at a part-time job, whatever we needed to do when I first started, and I came home to her. I said, I found your job. The hours that I can be out in the field while you're on the phone, you're going to make money here. You're going to make a lot of money here. And she came to Toronto with us. She had a wonderful time. She just really enjoyed it. But she did not want to do that initially. And then the first couple of days she got on the phone, and she said, man, this is easy. I can't believe this. So we have an office in her house. She can watch the kids in between phone calls. She makes calls all day long. She's got notes all over the house. When do you got to call this guy, this person, blah, blah, blah. What's the best time to call them? And she calls throughout the day. And so she's on the calls all day long, and Saturday mornings and everything. And this is her job, you know?
Right.
And it really, really works for us. She doesn't do any selling, obviously, over the phone. Nothing at all. She just qualifies the medical as best she can and verifies the time. And, you know, she's working me like a dog.
You her money maker. Guys, I wish, I'm sure some people are emailing in, but the emails are not being forwarded to my email account. Do I want to do something dangerous?
What the heck?
I don't know if you want to do that, man.
We'll give it one shot. For the next 20 minutes, you can use this email address to send in questions. My email address is naakatz@earthlink.net. That's naakatz@earthlink.net. If you got a question that you want to ask Chris Duzan, or if you want to ask Bill Martin, then shoot it to me and we'll get them asked. But guys, I hope what you're hearing out of this is nothing different than what you've heard on the other conference calls, which is simply this. It's the expectancy of victory. They're walking in with the expectation that they've already won the game. They're walking in knowing that they're going to pick up a check. They're walking in knowing that this is the deal, that this is an opportunity that was created for their personality. And it's their confidence in their attitude that is why they're successful in sales. It's not the way they said is. It's not the way they say percent. It's not the way they say return of premium. It's the attitude and the confidence walking in. So many times agents will walk into a house, you know, and they'll create the problems in the client's minds because they don't have any confidence in what they're talking about. These guys have, you know, they've educated themselves on everything that, you know, NAA, A to Z, and that's why they're successful. Just curious, are you guys signed up for the leadership conference at the end of September?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, we got Colton back?
Yeah, I've been on. I've been listening. I'm on my cell phone, and my call got dropped.
Okay.
I've been on for the last 10 minutes listening to everything, so.
Okay. Chris, you want to re-ask him the question you had?
What was the question?
What made him go from mediocrity to greatness?
Colton, when you first started, I mean, it wasn't all, you know, bed of roses. It wasn't terrible. But
right.
For you, what was it, and what made the light switch turn on, and all of a sudden where you're 20 in a row, 22 in a row, and you know you're 30 in a row, and then all of a sudden you're 36 apps out of 39 appointments. What changed for you?
The biggest thing that I did from the very get-go, and we've talked about this on our own conference calls in our agency with you, Chris, but one of the biggest things I did is I just started pounding my leads. One time when I was up there in our office up in Grand Rapids, there was a couple, and I always tell you, I always say this, there was a couple there, and somebody said something about this couple, they just crushed their leads. And that statement just stuck out in my mind. It's like, that's what I've got to do. I've got to crush my leads. And that's what Bill was just saying about Cheryl. She's relentless. I used to, when I first started, I kind of had the mindset, you know what, I'm just going to make calls when I get home. Don't want to, you know, you make my cell bill go any higher. And I'll tell you, that is the stupidest thinking a person can have in this business. I mean, I use my cell phone constantly. I am always, wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, I am trying to set appointments, getting a hold of people.
Take all your leads with you all the time?
My leads, I have 3 file folders. They are always in my hand. My wife makes fun of me because she's like, I never see you without your 3 file folders. You know, I've got 4,000 minutes now a month on my cell phone. But, I mean, it works. If I'm telling you, don't worry about your cell minutes or what your bill is going to be. If you are making the appointments and making the sales, like anything, guys, this is a numbers game. And you the amount of calls you make is going to be in direct reflection of how many appointments you get. How many appointments you get is going to be in direct reflection of how many applications you're writing. If you're just going to go out there and think you're going to, you know, and here's the thing. This is the biggest deception I think everybody has. I don't like working the phone any more than anybody else. I'd rather be in the house doing that. I thoroughly enjoy that. I hate the phone. But you just got to get over it and do it, because it's like, if you're going to be successful, you've got to have the attitude, whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. And but the thing is, I think so much of the time, we deceive ourselves into thinking that we're spending a lot more time on the phone than we actually are. You know, and I mean, when you start tracking, I challenge everybody on this call, you start tracking how many calls you're making a day, how much time you're actually spending on the phone. That when I started looking at that, I realized I'm not spending near as much time. I mean, an hour on the phone making calls, I mean, for me anyway, it feels like four. I don't like the phone. But that's where I just decided, you know what, I'm taking my leads everywhere I go, and I am going to call nonstop as much as I possibly can.
Colin, have you tracked the actual number of phone calls you're making a week?
Not actual number of phone calls, no. Just more or less time of how much time I'm actually spending on the phone.
Okay. How long are you on the phone with a prospective client?
Usually 5 to 10 minutes is all.
Okay.
I would say 5 to 7 minutes typically.
5 to 6. Can you walk us through? I've gotten a lot of emails already about what does he say on the phone? Can I get his script? Just walk us through. Why don't you do a little role play with Bill? You're the agent. Bill's a client.
Okay. You there, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. say hello, and we'll start.
Ring, ring.
Hello.
Hey, is this Bill Martin?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Colton Hawk. I'm with the Mortgage Protection Center. How you doing today?
Good.
The reason for my call is I have a notice here that you had sent into our company in regards to your Citibank mortgage, and just to kind of jog your memory a little bit, that letter talked about getting mortgage, life, and disability coverage without a physical exam. Do you remember letter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I always want to tell people that right up front so you don't think I'm a telemarketer.
I understand.
Basically, what I'm doing is I pulled your letter, and I'm working in your area, and let me ask you this, Bill. How long ago did they send this letter? How long ago did you send this letter in?
It's been a couple, 3 weeks at least.
Okay, that's not bad. Okay. Some letters have gotten, they've gotten really just slammed in your area, so I wanted to make sure it hadn't been very long. So, well, very good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
That's about right, yeah.
Okay. Well, basically what I'm doing is I am setting appointments for in your area, and what I'm going to do is gather just a little bit of information from you right now, just a little bit of medical history and things like that. I write for a lot of different companies, so what this is going to do is help me narrow down so when I get there that we're actually looking at the right product with the right company. You know, bottom line, I know the most important thing is it's got to fit in my budget, and that's
right.
What I hear more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
How much is this going to cost?
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm going to. That's what we're going to sit down and talk about when I come out. I'm going to, like I said, get a little bit of information from you now, and that'll help me narrow it down to one or two companies that will have the best product with the best price. We don't want you to have to give up DirecTV or cable in order to get mortgage insurance, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And Okay. Let me ask you this: have you had any surgeries in the last 10 to 15 years? Any major surgeries?
Well, what do you call major?
Well, heart stents, open heart surgery.
No, just knee surgery.
Okay. Was it like an outpatient thing?
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Scope.
All right, very good. And are you on any prescriptions right now, Bill?
Yeah.
I don't need to know the name of the prescription so much as just what are you taking it for?
A little high blood pressure, a little cholesterol.
Okay. As far as the high blood pressure, how many prescriptions are you taking for that? Just one?
Just one, yeah.
Okay, and what about the cholesterol?
Yeah, just Zantac, whatever that
okay.
stuff is.
Okay, very good. all right, well, let me ask you this. You had on your notice here the best time to call you was after 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume that you're working pretty much day hours, 9 to 5 kind of hours?
That's all depends. Okay. I get called in at different times.
Okay. Would a day or evening appointment work better for you?
Usually evenings are better.
Okay. Let me look at my schedule real quick. We could do Thursday night at 6:30, or we could do Friday night at around 7:30.
Friday's probably going to be better.
Okay, Friday at 7:30 will work?
Yep.
Okay, very good. Do you have a pen and paper handy?
Yeah.
Okay. Give them my number, and I will tell them, Bill, I will be driving. I will be coming at 7:30, give or take 15 minutes, because I do have other appointments scheduled right around yours. So if I'm 15 minutes late, 15 minutes early, is that okay with you?
Yeah, because my wife's going to be out of town anyway, so that'd be cool.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
She's not going to be able to be there.
She doesn't need to be there. I make all the decisions anyway.
Well, this is something that really, even though you make the decisions, this is something that really is, it's a joint decision as far as, it's just real important because it involves both of you. Let me ask you this, Bill. If you were to get a policy Friday evening, who would you list as your beneficiary?
Well, her.
Okay. Well, it's kind of important that she's there because, obviously, if we did an application on her as well, I'm sure you're going to be her beneficiary. So this is something that
I don't want to push into anything. Hold on. I mean, you talk about applications and stuff. I mean, you're just going to talk about this, right?
Absolutely. Okay. You are under no obligation. I am basically what's going to happen. I'm going to come with my laptop. We're going to sit down. It takes about 15 to no more than 20 minutes for me to show you the things I've come up with for you, and then we'll go from there. That's totally your decision.
I can make the decision without her. I really can. She doesn't need to be there. This is totally my decision.
Well, but the thing is, do you have any interest in her getting an application as well?
I'd like to get some money off her if she dies.
Nice.
Okay.
So we'll probably have to do this a different time then.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking because, I mean, obviously, if it's important to have coverage on both of you, she would need to be there,
okay.
to make that decision.
Okay.
When is she going to be back in town?
She's coming back Sunday night.
Okay. Well, then let's look. Let me look at my schedule here real quick. What about Monday evening at 7?
That'd be fine.
Okay. Let's do it for 7 on Monday night. If you have a pen and paper handy, I want to give you my phone number in case something comes up between now and Monday night.
Okay.
Give them my number. I tell them that I'm going to be driving a red Volkswagen Jetta, so when you see a red Volkswagen pulling up in front of your house, you'll know exactly who's coming to your door.
Okay.
Okay. Bill and Colton both. How many times? Obviously, that was one of the nightmare phone calls, and you saw that Colton still was able to work through it and walk through it, and walk through the minefield,
right,
and still able to get things accomplished. But how often, out of every 25 phone calls, how many guys do you get that give you that kind of grief?
Very few.
Yeah.
Give me a number. One out of 25. One out of 50. One out of 100. One out of 3.
I would say what Bill just did to me on the phone, I would say maybe 2 out of 25.
2 out of 25. Bill, what about you?
Oh, Cheryl, rarely. I mean, if I get stood up, she's mad. She actually wants to drive out to their house and have a talk with them. If I ever get stood up, because it doesn't happen very often. I'm not kidding. She gets ticked off, man. She rarely gets any static at all. I mean, I just did that to understand that. I know people are out there saying to themselves, well, yeah, that was an easy one. What happens if they say this? And that's what people focus on, is the one that gives you a hard time, which hardly ever happens.
Right.
But you need to see what happens in those scenarios. Cheryl does what I just did when somebody gives her static.
And hopefully what you learn is this. You know, sometimes it's okay to cut bait on somebody.
Sure.
If your schedule is more important, and you have too many other people that you need to be out there serving to allow one knucklehead to slow you down.
And that wasn't even that bad, of a resistance. But you get those once in a while. But for the most part, you're right. They just fall right in line. Okay. I listen to my wife a lot on the phone, and she just gets okay. Boom, 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 boom. Before you know, I got 14 appointments,
So they fall in line. So you get to the house, and we heard 8 minutes has been the shortest appointment. Realistically, how often, you know, what's your average time in the house?
For me personally, average time is about 1 hour and 15 minutes because that's primarily because of the application and, you know, doctor's information or whatever.
Okay.
But commitment to sale is usually under 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, I have a question here. How much are you explaining the riders and how much detail do you go into or?
Whatever it takes to get the commitment.
And once you get the commitment, how much deeper detail do you go into?
You don't really have to. I mean, I don't think. I explain it to them, especially the return of premium rider and, riders like that, waiver premium if they're interested in that too, and then the disability income. Depending on, you know, what their level of interest is on DI. And those can be a little bit longer because you are explaining a few more things. But if somebody's telling, you know, one of the things I want to make clear, and Colton does this and I do this, I don't try to oversell the product. I sell what they want. And that's why I get commitments fast and it's going to stay in the books because they didn't get sold. They pushed me to the purchase. So in their mind, I'm just following their lead all the way through. They don't tell me, well, I want this, and I say, well, you may want to consider this, too, and go into a whole other spiel about something. He's already told me what he wants, or she wants. What's most important to them?
A perfect example of that is this, from my own personal life. I remember a few years ago, we went to look at buying a used car, and we were looking at Toyotas, and this company, it was a Suzuki place, but they had like four or five different used Toyotas on their car lot. And I asked him about the Toyota, and all the guy wanted to do was show me his brand-new Suzukis.
Right.
And he took me for a test drive in a brand-new Suzuki, and I was like, yeah, it's a nice car. It ain't what I'm looking for. And he didn't make a sale, and I didn't go back to that lot because of that. If he would have showed me the Toyota, I might have bought the car that day.
Yep.
So that's a great point, Bill. Show people what they want.
Subconsciously, if you start selling, you know, I've had people, you can see their facial expression change, and happened to me a lot in the beginning when I would go in there and try to educate them on insurance and all this other stuff, okay? And then they're going, wait a minute, I just talked about mortgage protection. What's he talking about insurance for? In their mind, they don't know the difference. So when you go in there and try to do that, subconsciously a wall goes up. And they don't know why they're saying no to you when they're done, but they're like, this didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to be. I sent in a form for mortgage protection. Why is this guy explaining whole life and in term and all this stuff to me, you know, and I know people do that. I know people go in there thinking they've got to explain it more. I know I beat the Chris over the head with this. Come on, Chris, there's got to be more to it. I mean, I was just hounding him. Chris, there's got to be more to this. You can't just go in there and just explain for 5 minutes and take out an application. And he says, yes, you can. I do it all the time. I said, no, you're not. You know, we fought over it. And once I realized it, though, and then I realized what I was doing is that we are mortgage protection specialists. We're fulfilling their need. They're going to tell you what they want. And guess what? You're going to walk out with a check in an hour or less. I've had deals that I've been in and out of the house in 30 minutes, still on the books, still solid, and they love me. And because I fulfilled what they wanted. And you do that, bam, bam, and you move on to the next one. You don't make it this big ordeal. You know what? You got a client. If you want to go back and talk about other things, get this one issued first.
Absolutely.
I've sold 3 annuities since I've been here that were after policy delivery.
That's awesome. All right, guys, I know we're right at 2 o'clock, so I just want to wrap up with this one thing, and this is for all 3 of you guys. Brand just got started. What do you recommend that they do? We'll start with you, Colton. What do you recommend? Do you recommend that they get on the conference calls? I mean, can they pick and choose which calls they need to listen to? How much into the website should they get as far as downloading MP3s? Would you recommend they sign up for the September conference? How strongly would you recommend that they sign up for the next meeting they can get to, which is the September leadership for the association?
I would say leadership is huge. This will be my first one because I'm only 4 months into this, but I know how Bill came back from Toronto, jazzed out of his mind, just being up there at Forster's with these guys. When you get around other people, anybody that's brand new, get around other people that are doing something. Bill and I get off these conference calls, these national ones, feel like we're small potatoes compared to what some of these guys are doing. I mean, but what it does is it pushes you. It charges you up to do more, to get more focused and work harder. And, I mean, you know, and just don't, any new person, do not put any barriers on what you can and cannot do. You are your own worst enemy. If you are, you're the only one that can stop you. If you take the limits off yourself, there is nothing that's impossible for you.
Okay, Bill, same question.
Yeah, everything. I would drink this. I would get on that website and just start everything you can, learn all your products. I used to sit on the computer for hours just making sure I went through everything so I looked like I knew what I was doing when I was in the home, because I do mine all on the laptop in the house. And I just went through everything, so I was comfortable and familiar with everything. Go to Leaders. I can tell you, I just want to tell you, inside, when I went to Toronto the day before, we had a lot of stuff going on. I got four kids we got to disperse to different grandparents. It was a pain. My wife didn't want to go. She said, this is just not good timing, and so on. Okay? So a little negative starting out on the trip to Toronto. And we had been there before. I'll tell you what. She had an awesome time. We loved it. We can't wait. We're trying to figure out if she can get to leadership because, again, we got kids we're dealing with, and we're trying to figure out. She just loved it. She doesn't like mingling in these crowds because she doesn't feel like she knows what to say, but she just fit in like a glove. Give her a glass of wine, it was over, man. And we had an awesome but meeting everybody was probably the best thing. These people in here, Philip and Andy and everybody, are just, they're just awesome people. And you come, like Colton said, he said, I was walking down Toronto the last day, and I'm just blah, 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 just rattling off to him. He goes, what are you on? I said, it was awesome.
Dues, your business is just exploding, and I know there was a time that you kind of struggled a little bit as far as getting locked in and getting things moving in the direction you want. What would you attribute?
There are currently two participants in your conference.
Fitz one-on-one was one of the major things that happened, and you've just been an absolute blessing.
So he flew to Michigan to buy you dinner?
No. No.
How'd you get him one-on-one?
At the conference at the end.
Okay.
When everybody else was gone, I was still there.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Amy Jo and I, the first convention, we started in 2003, later than y'all did. And we paid for the conference way ahead of time. And I had some issues, health issues and stuff like that. And we struggled. We didn't know if we were going to be able to go, had the, you know, gas money. I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, if I didn't go to the first national convention, I probably would not be sitting here on this call today. There's no question in my mind. But seeing all the things that happened, seeing the, you know, the rewards and the awards, and seeing the people that, you know, actually care about you, you know, us, and just spending the time talking with people, and I got to tell you, I'm one of these guys that I don't have a challenge walking up to somebody. You know, some guys think that people are unapproachable. I'll just wait till there's nobody around and go talk to them. You know what I mean? That, for me, the stuff that happens before and after, I mean, the convention's always great and it goes without saying, but the stuff that happens when, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting there drinking a Coke with Fitz, closing down the bar, just picking his brain. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that, for me, is what has really made the impact. And, you know, just, I can't say enough about the relationships that I have and people that I've met, you know, across the nation, you know, agency managers, that it's absolutely, it made me understand that I was a part of something bigger than a breadbasket. And when you go down there and see the new NAA campus and see ProData Research and all the things that NAA goes on, nobody in my estimation does what we do. Nobody has their own lead program. Nobody has a 60,000 square foot office that's an MGA that I know of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So those are some of the things, Adam, that have made a difference. And Fitz told me, he says, you know what? He said, stop trying to recruit quality. He said, recruit quantity. And that's absolutely what we did.
Quality will yield itself.
That's right. And it has.
That's exactly
it. Here comes Bill Martin. It was a good seed sown 2 years after I hired him. Here he is.
That's it.
That just blows my mind. It still does to this day. We had guys, and I got to throw in a plug here. I know we're running long. The Portugal thing, everything, Bill and I, we were all traveling, so I didn't hear last Wednesday's conference calls, but we did record it. Foresters was an absolute top-notch deal. the riverboat or the boat cruise and dinner and the band and going to Niagara with Ralph and the CN Tower. I'm telling you what, Forrester's trip is just going to be a gas. I was excited and it was fun to go this time instead of just Amy, Joe, and myself to go with Scott and Emily Dykema and Bill and Cheryl because they were in the top 15 producing agents. It was so much fun. And that, you know, they got to see Barry, you know, not, well, Barry wasn't there because issues going on, but, you know, you got to meet Ralph and Robert and Michelle, and it was just, you know, it was a fantastic time. And if you can take anything away from this meeting, the leadership.
There are currently two participants in your conference.
Oh, Adam, you know, I love talking with you guys. Seeing you in Chicago at meetings, and you know that's the most fun for me, is being able to go to these meetings and not be just myself, but I know people there from across the nation, and it's just so much fun.
Absolutely. So the key, guys, for a brand new person, and if this is your first conference call, or you've been with us for less than a month, or you're just getting started, guys, plug into your growing up line, educate yourself, and associate with the people who are going where you want to go. And the best chance you have to associate with those folks is on conference calls like these and at the September leadership. You know, right. Don't make it optional. Invest right. In your business. Invest in yourself. There's no better place that you can put your money than investing in your education and in yourself. So looking forward to it, guys. We've had a blast on today's call. Hope you got something out of it. Looking forward to meeting all you guys in Raleigh in September. And keep the hammer down, guys. Have fun, make money, eat good food. Yeah. Thanks for plugging in.
All right. Take care, Adam. Thanks.